Our reading is a very well-known one this morning. It's the parable of the sower. It's in Luke 8, 1 to 15. After this, that was Jesus healing the woman, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits, including Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd were gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some of it fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was grown. When he said this, he called out, "Who that has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge and the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not hear." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the paths are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. May God bless that reading to us.
Okay. So we're looking at the parable of the sower. Very straightforward parable, isn't it? There's your first word already, by the way, seed. So that's the way it will work. The words will come down the side. A very straightforward parable, parable of the sower. Farmer goes out to sow his seed. It lands on different soils, as it were. Some on a very hard, trodden path. Others on stony ground, rocky ground. Other seed falling amongst thorns and thistles and weeds. And other soil it lands on is good soil, fertile soil. And to make matters even easier, Jesus goes on to explain the meaning of the parable. So I'm sure most of us are familiar with it. Is there anything that needs to be said? It's already there, it's already explained, you've heard it many times. Well, perhaps we should note, first of all, that the parables that Jesus taught are primarily about the kingdom. They're about the kingdom. And again, I'm sure you're familiar with that, about how God breaks into people's lives. And we find, as we read the parables throughout the Gospels, that God is breaking in unexpected ways and among unexpected people. Some of the most unlikeliest people are discovering a place within God's kingdom. So they're primarily about the kingdom of God. The parable that we're looking at, the parable of the sower, is found in all the synoptic gospels. You know what those are, don't you? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because they gather their source, their information from a similar source. So they're often referred to as the synoptic gospels. And this parable is in all three of them. And some would say it's the first parable that Jesus ever taught. Whether it is or not, we don't know. Some suggest it is. According to Matthew and Mark's gospel, the setting for this parable is the Sea of Galilee, or Lake Galilee. I think it's also called a Tiberias Lake or something. So if you can imagine, there's a huge crowd of people on the shore coming to hear Jesus, almost shoulder to shoulder, bustling so close to each other, so much so that Jesus has to get into a boat to kind of distance himself from the crowd in order to teach this parable. So we can try to imagine that scene. This vast crowd, perhaps hundreds, even maybe thousands, we don't know, gathered on the shore. And apparently the shore sloped down into the sea. So it kind of created a bit of an amphitheater effect. So there we are, Jesus about to teach this parable, teach about the kingdom of God. Now, the people gathered on the shore would be full of expectation, thinking about the kingdom of God. They longed for a new king to replace Herod. How are we doing with our words? They're coming a bit thick and fast at the moment, but they're always there for you. You can always refer to them. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Well, the people would be... No, Jesus has got their full attention because, for one, they want rid of King Herod, and also they would quite like to oust out the high priest and install a new legitimate priest in the temple to free them from their ultimate master's role. So the kingdom of God would resonate with the people. And yet none of this seems to be happening. Because if people look around, there seems to be no change in the air politically. There's no overthrow of King Herod. So nothing seems to be happening. By contrast to the people's expectations, Jesus is very keen to open people's eyes and their ears so they can see and hear what God is doing. What is God doing? So Jesus tells this parable. We find it in Luke chapter 8. But prior to this, there are a number of examples where this seed, the word of God, the kingdom of God, has been presented to people. And we see those four responses played out. So let's look at those first of all. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And do you remember what happened? He was handed the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. and he read from it these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and a recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus says, actually, this is referring to me. I am this anointed one that God has sent. And we're told that everyone stared intently at him. Every eye is fixed on Jesus after him saying this and saying, well, actually, this, I am this person. And on hearing that, they want him to perform miracles. No, they've heard of him doing miracles elsewhere, for example, in Capernaum. Well, if you're this anointed one, do some miracles here. Well, Jesus says, well, no prophet is welcome in their own town. And to illustrate this, he goes on to give two examples. And then after that, this is what we read in verse 28. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off a cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Here's an example of the Word of God being presented and it's landing on the path, where the birds of the air come and snatch it away, or as Luke says, the devil comes and snatches it away. The Word of God has been given, but the people are simply not interested. It gets trampled underfoot, doesn't it? In Jesus' day, fields were not like fields that we have today. Our fields are quite big, wide, fairly expansive. Back then, there were narrow strips. And at either side of the strip, the farmer would walk up and down, and that would form a well-trodden path, and nothing would ever grow on that path. I remember as a child going to school, talking about school earlier, we had to walk through a field in order to get to the primary school. And we formed a path, not consciously, we didn't go out of our way, although let's form a path through the field, but because we walked every day back and forward through that field on this particular path, a path was formed and it was rock solid. Nothing would grow on it. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? That God's word is brought to us and it's like landing on concrete. There's very little, if any, chance of it producing fruit. In Luke chapter 7, we have another example of the seed, this time falling amongst rocks. So in Luke chapter 7, Jesus gets invited to have dinner, with Simon the Pharisee. But what Jesus says and does is so unexpected and so shocking that Simon the Pharisee tries to distance himself as far as possible from Jesus. He just can't take it, what's been said and done. And can you remember what was said and done on that occasion? A woman comes in, as we were told, a sinful woman. She stands behind Jesus and she's weeping. She's crying her eyes out. That's a dramatic moment. And her tears land on Jesus' feet. And then she bends down. She undoes her hair, which was not the thing to do, really. And she uses her hair to wipe the tears from his feet. And then she kisses his feet. It's quite a scene. The poor old Simon the Pharisee just cannot take it. See, he showed some interest. As far as to invite Jesus for dinner, he wanted to know more about him. But when this incident occurs, he distanced himself from her. Now, we might think of these rocky places, going back to the land of Israel, as just being a whole lot of rocks with a little sprinkling of soil in between the rocks. Apparently, it wasn't quite like that. There would be a thin layer of soil, and underneath that, a hard layer of perhaps limestone or something. So a seed would land on that thin layer of soil, and it would quickly sprout up. But when the sun came, because it has no roots, it withered away and therefore didn't produce fruit. I wonder if we are a bit like that. Then in Luke chapter 7, verse 31, we have Jesus lamenting the people of this generation who have got other things on their mind. We're told that they have no interest in John the Baptist as a prophet. They've got no interest in Jesus as a prophet. Why? Because they have competing interests. And this is the thorns and the thistles and the weeds. Again, they're listening to Jesus, but they're listening to so many other voices as well, competing with the message of God's kingdom. And so whatever Jesus says just gets choked. And again, doesn't really produce much fruit. And then Luke tells us as well of many examples where the seed, the word of God, lands on good soil. For example, the Gentile centurion who believed that Jesus could just say the word and his servant, who he values highly, and yet is close to death, will be healed. Isn't that remarkable? This Roman centurion, he's obviously heard about Jesus, he's come to some understanding of who he is, and he believes that just say the word, and my servant will be healed. That's good, healthy soil, isn't it? Think about Levi the tax collector. I mean, he was just a downright rogue, really. A traitor, you know, filling his pockets with money of his own people, really. A despised person. And yet he's prepared to leave his shady business, to leave everything behind to follow Jesus. Wow, that's good soil. The message of Jesus has landed on good soil. We thought about the woman who gate-crashed the dinner party of Simon the Pharisee. You know, in the eyes of everyone, she was just a wretch, a wasted life. Someone to avoid. In her heart was good soil. And she went away from that encounter knowing she was forgiven. She went away with peace in her heart. Good soil. And then, of course, we can think about the 12 whom Jesus called. Jesus said, just come and follow me, and they leave everything to follow him. The word of God landing on good, receptive, obedient soil. And then if we go back to our passage in Luke chapter 8 that was read to us by Michael, interesting how that passage begins, verses 1 to 3. Let me read it to you. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Okay, that was his message. The 12 were with him, so they've already followed him. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. And many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. I think it's fair to say that here we have a number of examples where the word of God has landed on good, receptive soil. These women are presented like new plants that have sprouted up and are now bearing fruit. The other Gospels actually don't mention these women until much later. In fact, not until they turn up at the foot of the cross and then help with Jesus' burial and then were first to the tomb. But they've heard about Jesus. They've heard the message of the kingdom of God. In fact, they've been healed from it and set free. And now these women are doing the unthinkable, aren't they? They're leaving behind these well-defined places and spaces, social life of home and family, where they had an important role and duty. And now they're kind of tagging along with Jesus and the 12. They're not simply tagging along. They're supporting them out of their own means. I wonder what that looked like. I wonder what people said as they looked at these ladies. Did they scoff? Did they ridicule them? Were they saying you've made a huge mistake? We don't know, don't we? We can only imagine. And perhaps also we can only imagine the delight of Jesus as he looked at these women and the newfound loyalty and dedication to him. Now they're bearing fruit. So the parable of the sower, where does it leave us? Where does it leave me? What kind of soil are we? As I thought about this parable, I thought, well, actually, I can identify with all the soil types. There are times when my heart is hard, and my thinking, perhaps impervious to change. So when God tries to break in and speak into my life, really it doesn't stand a chance. I've already made up my mind. I've already decided I don't want this. I don't want you to say that or move me in that direction. I wonder if you can identify with that. Sometimes there can be a hardness, a resistance. Other times, I can start something with great enthusiasm, but it doesn't last long. You know, those rocky places with just a little bit of soil at the top. It'll maybe a new discipline, a new spiritual discipline, and maybe for a week or two. Well, let's be honest, maybe a day or two. Within a short period of time, that newfound enthusiasm, Lord, I'm going to do this, it's no longer there. Just peters out. Can you identify with that? And that definitely allows some weeds to grow, thorns and thistles that choke what God wants to do. Weeds like materialism, selfishness, cynicism, negativity, all sorts of things that just crowd in around what God wants to be saying. That kind of suffocate the very thing God wants to be saying to me. But then there are times when God speaks and it lands in good soil. And I say, yes, Lord. And isn't that what we all want to be? We hear a word from God and our heart just says, yes, Lord. I may not understand, it may not be what I want, but yes, Lord. A well-known parable, and yet quite a challenging parable. And Jesus concludes it with these words. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I think that's the key to the parable, really. That we hear what God is saying. That we come Sunday by Sunday, or I guess any day really, but we come with an expectation to hear what God says and a willingness to respond. And maybe we can make that our prayer. You know, Lord, give me a heart that is fertile soil so that when I hear your voice, there's an opportunity for that to grow and produce fruit that will last. So it doesn't get choked, it doesn't get trampled upon, it doesn't just last for a moment or two, but actually it lasts. You know, make me like that woman who gate crashed. Make me like that centurion. No, make me like Levi. Make me like someone whose heart just receives the word of God and acts on it. Maybe that involves pruning back some other things in the process, digging out a few weeds, removing things. There we are, the parable of the sower. Father God, thank you. We thank you for this time spent together. Where we've prayed and we've sung, we've listened, we've experienced your presence with us. And Father, we thank you that you will also go with us as we leave from here. Again, we pray for the children as they return to school and for the teachers. Lord, whatever experience we've had at school, may their experience be a good one. Lord, give them good friends. Help them in all their learning. And bless them, Lord. Lord, we pray for ourselves. especially, Lord, in the light of this parable that we've considered. Lord, give us receptive hearts that will receive gladly your word, that you will day by day produce fruit, a harvest, 10 times, 100-fold, for your honour and for your glory. So bless us throughout this day, Lord, we pray, as we give you thanks and our praise and our adoration. In the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.